The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the details about the job opening in Massachusetts for a director of communications. Eyes on Success had an episode recently on voting rights in the U.S. The AFB has a newsletter about the National Disability Employment Awareness Month. Soundprints for October 17th is online. Described fright films for Halloween have been posted on YouTube by Joel Snyder's company. Braille Magnets user, 8 years old, is a featured guest on Speaking Out for the Blind that aired October 23rd. And if I still have time, I will read an article about voting access in Canada by the BBC Canada. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. There's no expiration date associated with this post, so I'm reading the details in their entirety. Director of Communications, Requisition Number 190079D. The Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, MCB, is seeking a dynamic and experienced communications professional to participate in the development and implementation of the agency's communication strategy. The Director of Communications will directly manage communications activities that promote, enhance, and contribute to the agency's mission, including awareness among various consumer groups of the different services provided by MCB. The Director of Communications will be responsible for executing and contributing to the overall strategy of internal and external communications, as well as implementing a range of public relations activities relative to the strategic direction and positioning of the agency and its leadership. Our ideal candidate flourishes in a team-oriented environment. The selected applicant is an analytical, strategic, and a big-picture thinker, with a proven ability to understand complex ideas and articulate themselves clearly and concisely in a digestible way, using anecdotes and analogies. Duties and responsibilities. These duties are a general summary and not all-inclusive. Implement the agency's communication plan and its activities, media relations, marketing and community relations, external and internal relations, to promote and translate MCB's mission, vision, values, and policies, to provide expanded quality programs and services. Partner with the agency's executive team to design and implement organizational messaging and consistent, effective branding of MCB services and products. Develop engaging content for newsletters, print and web content, press releases, social media, marketing, email communications, blogs, presentations, and other forms of communication. Serve as MCB's language access coordinator, responsible for implementation and compliance with the agency's language access plan to ensure that consumers of the agency have meaningful access to services, programs, and activities. Implement a statewide outreach plan that includes reaching out to eye care professionals, key community leaders, and health and educational institutions to promote public awareness of the services MCB provides. Develop and maintain a database of outreach partners and track levels of engagement. Assist in fostering and maintaining relationships with Executive Office of Health and Human Services, EOHHS, and sister agencies. Draft and prepare the MCB annual report. Oversee the agency's quarterly newsletter, proactively monitor the MCB website, and refresh content periodically, events, news stories, success stories, workshops, and create online forums. Advocate and assist as the communications advisor on the internship program, White Cane Day, and other agency team initiatives. Organize tabling for MCB materials at conferences and trade shows, and oversee the weekly telephone tape. Serve as an accessible, accurate, and trusted media spokesperson while providing advice to the commissioner and senior leadership on effective media priorities and engagement initiatives. Preferred qualifications, a bachelor's degree in communications, public relations, or a relevant field. State government experience, a plus. Proficiency in Microsoft Office applications, including PowerPoint, Publisher, Excel, Outlook, and Word. Proficiency in reading online forms and updating website content. Savvy utilizing Hootsuite, Photoshop, social media, and other communications-related platforms, softwares, and applications. Demonstrated knowledge of communication program activities, media relations, community relations, government relations, internal and external communications, as well as some knowledge and experience in social and online media. Mastery of the principles, methods, practices, and techniques of communication, marketing strategy, branding, and writing styles. Ability to respond to policy issues identified by the commissioner and executive staff, as well as high-level state officials, other interested parties, and the general public. Skilled in exercising initiative, judgment, discretion, and decision-making to achieve objectives. Demonstrated resourcefulness in setting priorities, proposing new ways of creating efficiencies, and guiding investment in processes and systems. Aptitude in developing and implementing electronic reporting, marketing, and in-service training strategies. Competent in partnering with and influencing a wide range of constituents and senior leaders at all levels of the organization through relationship building. Strong written and oral communication skills. About the Commission for the Blind. The Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, MCB, is the point of entry for vocational and social rehabilitation services for residents of the Commonwealth who are declared to be legally blind by an eye professional. Under a newly created category, MCB will expand to service qualifying individuals who have low vision with a progressive visual impairment. These services help individuals to work toward independence and full community participation. Total compensation. As an employee of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, you are offered a great career opportunity influencing a wide spectrum of services to the diverse populations we serve, but it's more than a paycheck. The state's total compensation package features an outstanding set of employee benefits which you should consider toward your overall compensation, including 75% state-paid medical insurance premium, reasonable dental and vision plans, flexible spending account and dependent care assistance programs, low-cost basic and optional life insurance, retirement savings, state employees' pension, and a deferred compensation 457B plan, 11 paid holidays per year, and competitive sick, vacation, and personal time. Tuition benefit for employee and spouse at state colleges and universities. Short-term disability and extended illness program participation options. Incentive-based wellness programs. Professional development and continuing education opportunities. Qualified employer for public service student loan forgiveness program. Pre-hire process. A criminal background check will be completed on the recommended candidate as required by the regulations set forth by the Executive Office of Health and Human Services prior to the candidate being hired. For more information, please visit http://www.mass.gov/HHS/CORI. Education, licensure, and certifications will be verified in accordance with the Human Resources Division's hiring guidelines. Education and license certification information provided by the selected candidate is subject to the Massachusetts Public Record Law and may be published on the Commonwealth's website. For questions regarding this requisition, please contact Executive Office of Health and Human Services, Human Resources at 1-800-510-4122, extension number 2. Qualifications, minimum entrance requirements. Applicants must have at least A, 4 years of full-time or equivalent part-time professional internship, administrative, supervisory, or managerial experience in business administration, business management, public administration, public management, clinical administration, or clinical management, or B, any equivalent combination of the required experience and substitutions below. Substitutions. 1. A certificate in a relevant or related field may be substituted for 1 year of required experience. 2. An associate's degree in a related field may be substituted for 1 year of the required experience. 3. A bachelor's degree in a related field may be substituted for 2 years of the required experience. 4. A graduate degree in a related field may be substituted for 3 years of the required experience. 5. A doctorate degree in a related field may be substituted for the required experience. An equal opportunity affirmative action employer. Females, minorities, veterans, and persons with disabilities are strongly encouraged to apply. Official title, Administrator Level 4. Primary location, United States, Massachusetts, 600 Washington Street. Job, Community and Social Services. Agency, Commission for the Blind. Schedule, full-time, shift, day. Job posting, October 10th, 2019. Number of openings, 1. Salary, $35,247.68 through $100,907.45 yearly. If you have diversity, affirmative action, or equal employment opportunity questions, or need a reasonable accommodation, please contact Diversity Officer ADA Coordinator Alicia Queen, 617-348-8410. Bargaining Unit M99-Managers, EXE. That would be executive. Confidential? No. And that is the entirety of the post. Eyes on Success, episode 1942, aired on October 16th, 2019, and was an episode on voting rights. Show notes. Although the availability of accessible voting methods for people with disabilities has improved over the years, there is still a long way to go. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with attorney Scott LaBarre and technical specialist Curtis Chong about their work with the National Federation for the Blind and others to improve voting access for the blind. As usual, the audio and show notes can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And you can subscribe to the podcast in Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can even listen on your Amazon or Google smart home device by simply saying, play Eyes on Success podcast. Enjoy. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. AFB celebrates National Disability Employment Awareness Month with focus on careers, partnerships, and new programs. AFB Employment Summit creates connections, ideas, and action plans. By all accounts, AFB's inaugural Employment Summit in May was a successful day for everyone involved. Held in conjunction with the New York State Commission for the Blind, the summit was generously hosted at Google's offices in New York City. Partnerships play a starring role in AFB's work. AFB continues to look for every opportunity to collaborate with partners, not only in the field of blindness, but in the government and corporate sectors. AFB's supporters, including funders and individual donors, are considered valuable partners, too. Stacy Cervenka, a passion for policy. During high school and even when she started college, Stacy Cervenka, C-E-R-V-E-N-K-A, AFB's new director of public policy, admits she really didn't follow politics or public policy. But all that changed during her freshman year of college when she was invited to attend a lobbying and advocacy seminar run by the National Federation of the Blind in Washington, D.C. What does the world look like to you? For the first 2 decades of his life, Zach Turner never had any problems with his health or vision. But all that changed pretty quickly in 2015 when he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and a rare eye disease called Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. Today, the 29-year-old works as a healthcare consultant, providing career guidance and assistance to hospitals and health plans. Learn more about Zach, Z-A-K, as we continue our series asking people who are blind or visually impaired to share their real-world experiences. AFB launches Blind Leaders Development Program. People who are blind or visually impaired already hold professional leadership positions, every president of AFB since its inception being a notable example. But creating the significant systemic change AFB is pushing for requires improving representation of people with vision loss at the highest levels of leadership, influence, and responsibility. That's why we created our Blind Leaders Development Program. AFB receives grant to create best practices guide for hospitals treating patients who are blind or visually impaired. Together with Cabell Huntington Hospital Foundation, AFB has received a $77,000 grant to conduct research on access to quality care for hospital patients who are blind or visually impaired. Find out more about this collaborative undertaking. A quote, "Oh, what a beauty doth the world put on these peerless, perfect autumn days. There is a beautiful spirit of gladness everywhere. The wooded waysides are luminous with brightly painted leaves. The forest trees with royal grace have domed their gorgeous autumn tapestries." From a poem written by 13-year-old Helen Keller, titled Autumn, copyright 1893. We hope you found this information helpful. Please consider making a donation today to support our free information programs and research from the AFB. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast for October 17th is now online. New Low Vision Groups in Kentucky, American Printing House for the Blind acquires Helen Keller Collection, Camp Kaisok receives Beautification Award from Kentucky Governor Matthew Beaven, Type 2 Diabetes Tips, http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to our Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598, or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Joel Snyder sends... Some years back, VITAC, the nation's largest captioning company, and my company, Audio Description Associates, LLC, along with ACB's own audio description project, teamed up to caption and describe 4 public domain videos, films, over 4 years at Halloween time. The cinematic horror treats include Nosferatu, Night of the Living Dead, Carnival of Souls, and a Popeye cartoon with a Halloween theme, Fright to the Finish. We've posted all 4 pieces on YouTube, and we invite you to enjoy them and try not to be too frightened. You can access the films at Nosferatu, https://www.youtube.com/watch:V=A(N)I(2C4)6D(W)7S. Night of the Living Dead at https://www.youtube.com/watch:V=7HU(Y40U)B(AJC)T=25S. Carnival of Souls, https://www.youtube.com/watch:V=GXF(3ATMJ)H=B(O)T=632S. Popeye, Fright to the Finish, https://www.youtube.com/watch:V=IRSSWGNG. Happy Halloween, all best. Joel Snyder, PhD, author of The Visual Made Verbal, a comprehensive training manual and guide to the history and applications of audio description. Get your copy at thevisualmadeverbal.net. President, Audio Description Associates, LLC, The Visual Made Verbal trademark. For more information about audio description, please visit www.audiodescribe.com. Director, Audio Description Project, American Council of the Blind, jsnyder@acb.org. On Wednesday, October 23rd, at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, the acbradio.org/mainstream episode of Speaking Out for the Blind featured 8-year-old visually impaired Leilani Layla Gonzalez. Her mom, Vanessa Ceres, California School District Inclusion Support Specialist Stephanie Alvarez, and high school sophomore Nathan Paythion, P-E-T-H-Y-O-N. We learned how some special 3D printed Braille magnets are helping Layla read letters, words, and sentences. To listen to Speaking Out for the Blind, go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 1-641-793-0756, and when prompted, press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. For more info related to this week's show, go to https://speakingoutfortheblind.weebly.com/list-of-episodes-and-show-news/4-more-information-episode-190-rebroadcast-braille-magnets. From cbc.ca, Erica Rodick, E-R-I-K-A-R-O-D-E-C-K, is a researcher with CBC Manitoba. She is part of the 2019 CBC AbiliCrew Placements for Excellence, CAPE, cohort, a group of Canadians with disabilities who have been hired for three-month internships. She graduated from the University of Winnipeg last spring with a bachelor's degree in conflict resolution studies. Voting more accessible this election, federal election, but some feel more needs to be done. Making all polling stations wheelchair accessible, supplying additional devices, could help, advocates say. Marking a ballot may seem simple enough to most voters, but people living with disabilities continue to face challenges when it comes to time to cast a vote. For wheelchair user Lori Ross, former assistant managing director of the Independent Living Resource Center in Winnipeg, just getting to the polling station can be a barrier. To get around, she often takes Transit Plus, the city's transportation service for people with disabilities. But it only takes riders one way, Ross says, and because of the inconvenience, some people might be discouraged from going to the polls. Add an ill-timed snow dump to the mix, and getting anywhere by public transit poses a significant problem for people with mobility issues, she says. During one winter election, Ross said her polling station was nearby, but she couldn't get there in her wheelchair due to snow and severe weather. I'm not going to book a ride with Transit Plus to go two streets over, she said. Mechanical failures. Alan Mankiewicz, 39, a disability advocate who uses a wheelchair, said during a recent hellish fall snowstorm, getting to an advanced voting station was difficult. Some campaigns offer rides to polling stations. Mankiewicz appreciates the option, although he questions whether all campaign vehicles are always wheelchair accessible. Buildings where polling stations are located also aren't always accessible by wheelchair, he said. The automatic door was switched off at the polling station that I went to. The security guard who was at the door didn't know how to turn it on, said Mankiewicz, adding in the past he's encountered polling stations that are at the base or top of a flight of stairs. There's been situations where I've had to look for someone to help me operate a lift. Not all stations are wheelchair accessible. According to Elections Canada, most polling stations should be accessible, but voters can look up their polling station online to check. That information should also be present on voter information cards that arrive by mail. If a small wheelchair symbol appears next to the location, it should be accessible. If a local polling station isn't marked accessible, voters with disabilities can contact their local voting office and ask for written permission to vote at a different polling station. Mankiewicz acknowledged efforts being made to improve accessibility, such as automatic doors and elevators at polling stations, but he said that the accommodations aren't helpful if a polling station staff aren't trained to how to work them, or if they're malfunctioning. He'd like to see more polling stations located on the ground floor of buildings. Ensuring that you don't have to go up or down a floor to get to the exact actual place where you vote, I think that would be good, he said. Accessibility has really ramped up. Leonard Ferber, executive director of the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, lives with a degenerative eye condition known as retinitis pigmentosa. Ferber is in his early 50s and has partial sight in one eye, but is completely blind in the other, and he uses a white cane to find his way around. He voted in the provincial election and went to advance polls for the federal election with the help of his wife. The same practices were in place in each case, including polling staff at the ready to help guide those with mobility issues from the registration table to the ballot box, he said. Compared to previous ones, the accessibility has really ramped up, he said. When I got there and said I'm legally blind, I'm visually impaired, they instantly were able to make certain offers to me that weren't there before. For folks like Ferber, Elections Canada says polling stations have enlarged ballots available upon request and magnifiers for people with partial sight. Braille options also are available. In a statement, an Elections Canada spokesperson said the organization has made improvements through consultation with an advisory group for disability issues tasked with making voting more accessible for a range of Canadians. Policies around vouching have been slightly relaxed, so workers in assisted living facilities can vouch for residents, Elections Canada states. Election officers can provide assistance to voters with intellectual and physical disabilities, and people who have difficulty marking a ballot for any reason can bring someone with them to the polling station to help them vote or ask a polling station staff member to help mark a ballot. Sign language interpretive services are also available, though they need to be requested from Elections Canada at least 4 days in advance. Easy grip pencils are also available for people who may have difficulties with their hands, Elections Canada states. One device not offered during the federal election is known as an audio tactile interface, which was available at some polling stations during the 2018 Winnipeg municipal election. Those machines are primarily designed for people with visual impairments and include audio prompts of various candidates along with a remote control with different shaped buttons to use to make a selection. Elections Canada piloted the technology nearly a decade ago in the Winnipeg North area, but the vast majority of people who required assistance voting preferred to use other devices or to rely on help from polling staff. Still, Ferber can imagine why it would be good to have some of those devices on hand this election. Not every blind person or low vision person reads Braille, and not every individual wants someone there knowing who you voted for, he said. Elections Canada says more and more polling stations are physically accessible, and staff continue to receive training to help them better assist voters. Ferber hopes whoever assumes office on Monday listens to calls to implement a Canada-wide assistive device program to make the expensive devices available at the polls more accessible to folks who need them every day. I'm running low on time, so I thought I'd extract a paragraph from Joshua the Jedi Lawyer in theblindpost.com. A close friend and I were talking about the shame that I had at receiving my PTSD diagnosis. I didn't really want to put a label on the feelings I had because I was afraid of what that meant. I internalized the idea that because I had PTSD and major depressive disorder, my two primary diagnoses, I was irrevocably damaged and defective. Here's the really powerful shift stemming from my conversation and later backed up by my therapist. People call PTSD a disorder not because the person who has it is disordered, but because the post-traumatic stress is creating disorder in their life. I'm sorry I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time. If you have comments or questions, please call the station.